watch, watch her make now. Like this up chandelier, and that pussy like voodoo, Santa Rhea. Bet your man ain't getting money like me.
Nope.
Bet your lil try on me. Whole life on parole, can't talk to felons. Now tell that bitch up in the cops, your man still telling. Still telling, still telling. Throw that whole chick away, that still telling. Still telling, still telling. Look at these niggas ducking time, they're still telling.
Welcome back to Johnny B Show, Thursday night, 102.5 The Bound. Thanks for staying tuned in. Thanks for tuning in, and hopefully you'll stick around to the end. We're halfway through this program. If you ever miss out on a show, don't feel bad. All right? It's not the end of the world. You can go to the Bone app and hear the whole thing over again on the replay feature, including the featured cut of the day for every single show on this lovely station. So go, check it out. Bone app, it's free. I've been in my bag, hopping out of jets, been running shit. Stealing out of breath, I can lay a verse and lay this to rest. Catch it, traffic, hope you say it with your chest. Plenty of time to get your tweets in. We'll pick a top tweet here in about an hour. So at Johnny B Comedy, at Johnny B Show, on a Humble Radio, home underscore made underscore man, hashtag B holes. So this is getting so much press. And this is going to be I got to kind of approach this, not delicately, but I want to make sure people understand where I'm coming from here, all right?
I say we approach it like we always do, you
absolutely
know? Just tell the people what we think, and if they get upset, then they get upset, and guess what? They'll get over it.
I just think people are so easy to react the way it's presented. Like
they're looking at the surface issue.
I know.
But, well, you get into it, and we'll discuss.
Get into it. So this 9-year-old child in Australia suffers from a condition. He's a dwarf. Mm-hmm. He has dwarfism. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a rare thing, but you know, it's you see it all the time. You know,
right.
I'm friends with a couple of local dwarfs, you know, it's fine, you know.
You love the micro wrestling crew.
I love those guys. Absolutely love those
guys. I've seen it live before. It's
so entertaining and really, really athletic, awesome, like, group of guys and really nice guys,
and
too.
And gals.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I don't want to leave them out, but the guys are better in the micro wrestling. Sorry. They just are. They're really good. Well, this kid, and look, here's the thing. The video is because he was being bullied at school. His mom pulls up, and I want to play the audio, but she's dropping F-bombs left and right on it.
I think that the beginning you might be okay.
Yeah.
But it's 6 minutes, so you could play a little.
Yeah, a little
whatever.
Bit.
All right.
Yeah. So he's in the car. He's upset. He's visibly upset. He's been crying. And she's got the phone out, and she is all up in his grill. Like, she's a foot away from him, and she's going off about how she pulled up and saw kids patting him on the head, and he's been getting bullied, and apparently he said something like, I want a knife so I could kill myself, or something like that. So, said something like that.
And this is, like, no doubt, this is heartbreaking.
Yes.
Like, it's awful. We're not suggesting otherwise, or that he should just, like, get over it or anything. Okay.
That's the thing. Like, so, you don't want to see a kid get bullied like this. Although it is, and this is, you know, I want to get this right out the gate. This is something that kids are going to put up with. This is something a lot of kids get bullied. This is just part of life. I mean, yes, we live in a different time than we did, you know, 20, 30 years ago, where if you got bullied, your dad would say, hey, suck it up. Go out there, either punch a kid in the face, tell him to F off, or, you know, you know what I mean? Like, don't take that crap, you know? Like, that was my upbringing. My upbringing was, if somebody picked on you, you tell them about themselves. And if they want to throw fists, then you do that too.
Right.
Whatever you got to do.
Unfortunately, this kid doesn't have that latter option. He's he's too small.
He's a dwarf.
He's going to get hurt.
Well, he could definitely either say something.
Absolutely.
Or ignore them, you know, to the most, you know.
And everybody knows this. Like, bullies get their they get off on making you upset and the reaction.
Yes.
If you don't give them one, if you don't cry, if you tell them to go F off, they will eventually get bored because that's what they're looking for. That's what drives them. That's what feeds the ego.
It's hard for a 9-year-old to understand that.
But you have to start training them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's incumbent upon the parents.
Yes.
At that age, at that precious impressionable age, for the parents to sit them down and go, look, these kids are dicks. 100%. You're going to deal with dicks your entire life. Mommy dealt with one 9 years ago. Look, you're going to have to deal with these people your entire life on the corporate scale, college, high school, everywhere. They're everywhere. It's up to you how you let them affect you. Are you going to give them the fuel they need to be dicks? Or are you going to brush them off and basically, you know, defuse anything they do as, you know, they need fuel in order for this to work. So, but this mom, it just seems to me like it's an attention grab. That's the part that bothers me. It's the attention grab. Mm-hmm. It's I'm going on Facebook Live so that everybody can see that this is an outrage. And yes, she's trying to bring awareness perhaps, but in my opinion, she's also trying to make herself look like a martyr for a cause. And maybe, somehow even garner a profit off this.
Possibly. I mean, I would like to think that she's just, listen, it's awful. Her kid is getting bullied every day. The kid's crying all the time.
Pissed.
If it's your kid and he's like small and he can't do anything, mm-hmm. you know, and he's always crying, talking about killing himself, no parent wants to go through that. And clearly she says in the video, I deal with this on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Like this is, we try to be strong. We try to be positive. But sometimes this is just like, I want to show you what it's like for us every day. I get that. But what she's doing is she's enabling him to continue to feel bad for himself, to pity himself.
So Brad Williams, he's a guy that I've worked with before. He's a dwarf stand-up comic. He's all over Netflix. He's been in the scene for a long, long time.
He talks about other stuff besides his dwarfism, right? Okay, no? Okay.
Not mostly.
Okay.
I mean, it's a big thing. You know, here's the thing. Ralphie may talk about his weight. It's obvious. You know?
Yeah, but it wasn't all he talked about.
No, but when it's staring you in the face, if it's
sure,
a,
of course you address
it's
it.
The biggest identifier of who you are.
Of course, of course.
You know, like me, I do fat jokes on stage too because I'm fat.
Yeah, but it's not like your whole shit.
No, I probably talk more about my family than anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Brad Williams does talk. He has really funny stories about his dwarfism, though. Like people thinking he's Game of Thrones and stuff like that. He tells stories that are wrapped around him being a dwarf, and he's a good comic. Like I'm not gonna say he's a bad comedian. Well, he came out and he posted, "Let's raise $10,000 for this poor boy, so that we can fly him to the United States, him and his family, and then go to Disneyland."
What does he mean? Let's? Why doesn't he just give $10,000?
I don't know how much money he has. I don't know
what he's. Yeah, I don't think he does that well.
I don't think he's that. I think
he doesn't have $10,000 lying around to donate for one cause.
Well, he has
a Netflix special.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't mean nothing.
Does that mean nothing?
Here's the thing. No, not really. Here's the thing. This is also painting a good light upon himself. Like, look at what I'm doing. This is catered for him. From a PR standpoint. And I'm not making cock on Brad Williams. I have nothing against him, but recently he was in the news for a very negative reason. He was found on a podcast, which, you know, that's people are doing that now, Shane Gillis. You know what I mean? If you say something on a podcast, people will find it. So Brad Williams, he said that he was joking about it, and he went back and apologized, but he pretty much said that he, you know, basically date raped somebody.
I heard
on a podcast
on Two Bears, One Cave, they alluded to that.
Yeah.
But they didn't say who it was.
No, I heard the audio, and comics were like, oh, I can't back him on this one. And
What did he say?
He basically said a lady was drunk and asleep and he banged her. So.
No, I think what happened was he was on tour with, I think it was Carlos Mencia.
Yeah.
And I guess the girl thought that Carlos was back there.
That's what it was.
And
she was
drunk, and it was really Brad, and he had sex with this woman.
How did
woman.
She? I mean, okay, she's drunk, but is she, like, blacked
but that,
out?
But that was the, that was the
not
gist
have
of
eyes
the joke.
Anymore?
That was the gist of the funny joke on the podcast.
But I don't think it was a joke.
Well, she was so drunk, she didn't know I wasn't Carlos Mencia when I banged her. Well, this audio leaked out, and people are like, that's rape, dude. You can't do that. So he posted this.
What?
He posted this, like, eight-paragraph, like, you know, apology statement saying, you know, look, you know, I'm not proud of that. I did elaborate on that story to try to be funny. It really didn't go down like that and everything else.
She wasn't asleep, okay. Right? I don't think that.
Okay, either way.
But it was dark and right. She thought it was Carlos.
Something
and
like that.
It wasn't.
Did she ask?
I don't know all the details. Okay. I just know pretty much surface story. I heard a little bit about it on a couple podcasts and I saw the post that he did and all that stuff. But to me, I think the timing of this is a good way to exonerate himself almost. Like, all right, like, I'm not a complete piece of crap. Here I am raising money for this dwarf who's just like me. I relate to him. It actually does look like a little Brad Williams. But $10,000. Okay, now that it's up to this GoFundMe, it's up to $75,000.
Oh, it'll be up to like a half mil. Like,
what's this money for?
Raising, where I don't know, dude.
That's what I mean. What are we doing with this money?
This seems to happen with every feel-good story, and it's kind of a good thing. I mean, that people are kind and they want to show, you know, I don't know, they feel bad for them, but they want to give charity to these people who they think they need it.
I just don't see what good is really going to come out of this. Is this going to lessen bullying?
No.
No.
Well, you know, maybe they'll donate it to an anti-bullying campaign or something. I don't know.
Mm. Who knows? Listen.
That's the thing. This GoFundMe, and we've talked about this, there's no law saying you have to do something. Whoever started this GoFundMe, it's their money to do what they want with. They could spend it on crack cocaine and scratch-off tickets. It doesn't matter. It's their money. Yeah. So I just don't get it. Why would you say, let's raise $10,000? Do you get to the $10,000? They should have it where when your goal's met, they just seal the damn GoFundMe. I don't understand how you just... They just
let it grow. Listen, if people want to give money, let them give money.
I know. It's just crazy to me. But now we see everybody is posting it. Everybody's posting it. But it seems like when people are posting it, they're making it more about themselves. You know, it's like, hey.
People are making stories about other people about themselves?
Yeah.
People do that?
Especially on social media. You know what I mean? They'll post a story and they'll go, I relate to this because I was bullied. You should donate to this kid. Let's get him over here and get him. Even though they've already bought 17 trips to the United States for this kid. He can move here now. They
and
have
what
enough
is,
money.
What is that going to do?
Nothing.
Like, he's still going to have to go back to school eventually, or he's going to get homeschooled. Like, how are we?
You know what's going
to
happen?
How is this raising? How is this helping solve the problem?
You know what's going to happen? They're going to go. They're going to fly him to California from Australia.
Well, go on Ellen.
He's going to walk into the gates of Disneyland, mm-hmm. and some 8-year-old dick from Santa Monica is going to go, hey, midget. You know what I mean?
It's going to unravel.
Yeah.
You can't really legislate kids' behavior because kids are garbage. They're not fully, they don't understand the effects of the words that they say and the things that they do. Your frontal cortex of your brain doesn't develop until you're about 24. That's when you become a complete human being.
Pretty much. 24.
Before that, you are a garbage.
You're not only a garbage human, but you're a direct reflection at times of your parents too. So if they're dicks, then you're like a giant magnetized little tiny dick. Like the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Well, here's the thing, but the main difference between like children and adults is that they were thinking the same thing oftentimes, but as an adult, you have a filter, you have inhibitions that say that we can't say that sort of thing, even if you're thinking it.
Right.
Kids don't that's not developed yet. So if they see something, they say something. They're like New Yorkers. They're all, see something, say something. That guy's short. Are you a baby? They're curious
oftentimes. Kids also know that.
Kids
also know that the repercussions aren't nearly as strong as it would be if an adult was doing these things. Like a kid, what's the worst that can happen? Are you grounded? You know what I mean? They're not going to go to.
Yeah.
They're not going
to
get culture.
Go to the prince. They're going to get detention.
Yeah, they're not going to get canceled. You know, like they're not going to get fired from their job. They're not going to lose.
Especially if it's nonviolent. You know, if they're just calling him names and stuff. But I feel like the thing that we need to be teaching our kids. Yes, obviously teach your kids not to be assholes so they don't bully other people. But beyond that, if they do get bullied, you need to give them the tools to fight back. Because here's the thing that nobody wants to admit, nobody wants to say, is that you can't control other people.
Right.
No matter how many advertisements you have and how many courses someone takes, you can't control other people's behavior. So you have to make yourself stronger. You have to create an armor. Mm-hmm. So instead of crying with this little boy, the mom needs to do what my dad did when I was bullied and say, hey, next time that person bullies you, pull them over and just say, hey, go F off and suck a
Yeah.
And walk away.
Figure it out.
But say it so nobody else can hear you.
Yes.
They can tell everybody, hey, so-and-so said that. No, I didn't. Plausible deniability.
Well, and a lot of times, you know, it's every kid's different. A lot of times, you just need to find a way to reinforce their confidence, too. So, and not to make it about me, but I got a prime example. Zane wasn't always a big kid. Zane was actually born premature. He was pretty small when he was young. He was 5 pounds when he was born. He was small until he was about 8 years old. He had a growth spurt. When he was 6, 7 years old, he was being bullied. He was in an after-school program, and I picked him up 2 or 3 times, and he looked upset, and he told me a kid punched him. I went in. I talked to the babysitter lady, whatever it was, in the after-school program. I go, hey, he said this kid hit him, and she's like, I didn't see anything, da-da-da-da-da. I had words with her. I was like, do I need to go talk to his parents? What am I going to do, you know? And I've sat, and I talked with a few friends. And a buddy of mine said, look, my kid was getting bullied, and I sent him to this karate school right here in town.
Perfect.
And I go, well, I also took karate as a kid, and it helped me out big time and stuff, like, for a lot of reasons, you know? Like, it just helped me become confident. It helped me with discipline, things like that. And I was like, my kid can use that. So I sat with the owner, the instructor, and shout out to Earl Harris. If you're in Brandon, and if you ever saw Earl Harris Karate Academy, Master Harris and his son Keon, these it was a family that were all the instructors, and their number one priority was discipline. Like, they wanted to make sure everybody respected each other. They made every kid do all of their homework before they ever, like, put on their gi and worked out or anything. So their schoolwork was on it. It was after school program. Well, I sat with him before I signed my son up, and he said, your son's being bullied. I said, yeah. He goes, that's going to stop. And I said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to kick the kids' asses? What are you going to do? And he goes, no, we're going to make sure that your son understands that words can't hurt him. We're gonna make sure that we instill confidence in your child, right? He's not going to cower from people. He is going to stand with his chest out and his head high. And we're going to make sure that he has the tools where this isn't going to bother him. And he goes, and if somebody does lay their hands on him, we're going to give him the tools to handle that too. And I'm like, this sounds wonderful. My son went from C's to straight A's within a month after being in this class. He went 9 years to this karate school. He got his black belt by the time he was 11 years old. When he hit the growth spurt, now he had the skills and the size.
Well, no one was going to mess with him.
He's never been bullied again.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and I saw a lot of other kids, some tiny kids that were in that karate class, and it was the same thing. Their parents put them in because they were being bullied. The parents did something positive to try to, you know, circumvent what was going on. Yeah. You know, instead of just saying, you know, leave my baby alone, or, you know, telling the kid, you know, run
that
and
cry. That makes the kid look weak.
I know.
It makes the kid look weaker.
I know.
You know?
I'm just saying, like, try to parent your kid. It makes sense.
I'm wondering too if this kid in particular, I wonder if he has a dad,
yeah,
in his life, you know, that can kind of shape that. Because I mean, moms are good for, baby, I'm so sorry,
right.
I love you, but dads are the ones who tend to be like, all right,
yeah,
here's how you handle this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the more of the logical thinkers. And thank God Zane had you to kind of,
yeah,
help him out. I had, you know, my dad, I had my stepdad to,
right,
kind of help with these things. I mean, you go through it. You kids do bully. They get bullied.
Yeah.
And some get it worse than others.
I was on both sides of it.
Yeah.
I remember I bullied this kid when I was, you know, 11 years old.
Oh, sure.
This kid was the only kid in my neighborhood that was, like, really fat. I mean, real. I was a fat kid.
Mm-hmm.
This kid was morbidly obese. Like, mm-hmm, he had to be 300 pounds at 10 years old. He was enormous. And I would make fun of him like a little jerk off. And one day, I said something to him, and I turned my back to him. He picked up a goddamn tree branch that was on the ground because it just got done raining like the night before.
Yeah.
It was like it was the size of a small tree. He whacked me on the, like, across my body, took a chunk out of my arm. I was, mm-hmm, bleeding. And I mean, I fell to the ground, and he, you know, waddled away from me as fast as possible. And I remember getting up thinking, I'm going to kill this kid, right? And then I kind of limped home, and I went, and my mom's like, what is going on? Why are you bleeding? And I told her, I said, you know, Danny hit me and with a tree, you know, and she goes, I'm going to go talk to his mom right now. And I said, no. I said, don't do that. She goes, why? Did you deserve it? And I said, yeah, I've been picking on him for months. And my mom goes, well, I'm glad he got you then. And I go, she goes, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to apologize to him tomorrow. And I did. I went the next day and I said, nice hit with that stick, dude. I said, I deserved it. I said, I'm sorry, man. Like, you know, you didn't deserve that crap. I get picked on by skinny kids and now I'm picking on you. You know, like what? I was just really just kind of projecting or something, you know, like, so that taught me a lesson big time. And that was the last time I bullied somebody. So I don't know. I think life lessons can happen, but the parents definitely need to guide you along. That's what they're there for. So,
yeah. And it, you know, it's a shame. I did terrible things too. I got bullied. There used to be these kids from Albania that were over here when I was in middle school. And middle school kids are the worst.
Yeah, they're worse
than
high school.
The worst. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And you know, they're from Europe. So they don't really they have a different way of doing things over there. They kind of smelled a little bit. They had a little bit of an odor, body odor.
Yeah.
And we taped masks made out of paper towels to her face that said stink, stink.
Yeah.
Go away.
That hurts.
Very clever as a young man we all were. And I look back on that now, I'm like, oh my God. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
But I was an idiot kid. I was in sixth grade, you know, and it was terrible what we did. But I'm sure those kids are fine now. You know, I'm sure they're...
Oh, I got one more...
They're dead, so...
I got one more bullying story. And I probably have told this story somewhere in the last 6 years here. But it was twins in junior high. And if they're listening, Danny and... I think it was David and I want to say Daniel. Blonde hair, blue eyed twin boys at Van Buren Junior High School. And they were kind of nerds, right? A little dorky, you know? And I didn't punch them or anything like that. But I verbally picked on nerds a little bit in junior high and high school, right? Like, well, so I kind of picked on him a little bit. One day, Danny, like, he whooped my ass in like 5 seconds. Like,
yeah,
we're out in the patio, and I think I threw like a four square ball at his face, kind of messing with him, and he just kicked my ass. Like, kicked me. And I'm like the captain of the defense at the time. I'm a big kid. And then I just said, oh my God, he whooped my ass. And I was like, it was just like with the kid with the stick, like several years before. I went, I had that coming, you know. Fast forward about 5 years. I'm out of high school. My buddy is he's testing for his black belt at a taekwondo school on Bush Boulevard, not far from that junior high school. And he goes, hey, man, you going to come watch me test for my black belt? I go, sure. I walk in. The instructor, goddamn Danny.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He was a black belt. He told me he was a black belt. I walked in. I started laughing. I go, so how long? He goes, yeah, I was a black belt at like 10 years old, dude. He goes, yeah, you whipped my ass when you're 15. Kid was a trained fighter, and I was just picking on him.
That's with the wrong people,
I was just
man.
Picking on him. So stupid.
I'll check you real quick.
You never know. You never know who's going to whip your fat ass.
Remember the kid that said he knew karate, but he probably didn't?
No.
He goes, yeah, I can't. We used to have this kid in seventh grade. He was like, yeah, I can't hit you, man, because if I do, you die.
I registered like, my hands like a month ago.
I was afraid of him. We were all afraid of him, but he was a total liar in retrospect.
No, it's a kid that doesn't say anything, you know? Like, Zane never went around and told people that he was a karate. Zane was a very kind of quiet kid.
You don't want to advertise that.
Yeah, Zane was a quiet kid in high school.
And he get jumped by multiple people.
Yeah. I mean, lucky for him, he never had to use it because he was 6'5" in high school.
Sure.
You know, but it's just funny, though. Little Danny and David, man, nice kids. I was a dick, and I got my ass whooped. All right, let's take a break, and we come back. I mean, the whole reason why we did the story, I just don't know what they're going to do when this gets up to $200,000. I would love to know what they're going to do to build this kid's confidence. I just don't know.
He's just going to get a bunch of praise and attention. He'll meet a bunch of celebrities. That'll be a nice little fix for a little bit. And then he's going to go back to school, and he's going to be like, you little crybaby. I saw that video of you.
Yeah.
You're probably right. He'll probably be on Ellen. And he'll probably be Ellen. By the time he comes back, he's going to get so much attention, he'll be the cool kid.
I hope
and then,
so. Yeah.
You know, things will probably get
By the way, Brad Williams, his wife, full-size woman, Asian, UFC fighter. Like, she is a bona fide badass. Like,
let me look this up.
Yeah, look it up. He does a whole bit about how she just, like kicked, like, dude's asses in a bar for, like, bullying him, like, in Las Vegas. Like, yeah, she's like a full-on, like, brown belt in
jiu-jitsu. Jasmine Williams.
Yeah.
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 Oh, damn.
Yeah, she's a badass. So that's what you do. If you're a rich midget, you marry yourself a bodyguard. That's a good job right there.
Good idea.
Yeah.